Al.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up? Hello and welcome to the It's Stormy Here edition of TryGames.net podcast, because apparently it's like rainstorming or something or whatnot. I have no idea what it is, but it looks ugly outside. It is Sunday, December 16th at 11:48 a.m., so if you haven't gotten your mailbag question in by now, you're a douche!
With me, you just went like half Irish.
Okay, if that's Irish to you, then you're...
No, that's half Irish.
No, not at all. You're just an idiot.
I've got proof.
No, we're an idiot right here. This is Ethan the idiot. Say hi.
Proof.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We've got someone who's not an idiot is in Tony.
Please.
I'm not?
Well, since Ethan's the idiot today, he can't... Oh, now it's snowing. No, it's still raining. So
no, it isn't.
It's something.
Now who's the idiot?
It's some kind of precipitation. But
it's snaining.
It's snaining. You know, my dad used to say that. So
really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, I just made up a new word. I'm awesome. I'm like, Dad, no, please don't say
I'm
that.
I'm awesome.
I'm a superstar.
What have you been playing, Ethan, since you usually don't play any games and you ratted out on us last week and you're useless to us?
Nothing. I won't play anything until
Tony,
January
what have you been
15th.
Playing?
Lunar and Pikmin 2.
Oh,
and I beat the first half of Pikmin 2, so now I'm on to the second half, where I have to find Louie.
You've beaten it before, right? So you're just replaying it to...
No, actually, I keep on getting discouraged because there's some levels that are just ridiculous.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, I just get so frustrated that I stop.
I gotcha. It's that little, I can't stand this level, I come up to this level every time, and I can't stand it, so let me just stop here.
Exactly.
I gotcha. And then you usually restart from the beginning, just to kind of
yeah,
build yourself
actually,
up.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So yeah, this time around, I beat it in 12 days, game time, 12 days game time. Now I'm playing the second half, and it's ridiculous.
Oh, you beat the first half in 12 days. I was like, I thought you never beat it. Okay.
Right.
Ethan, what are you still not playing?
Yep, still.
Christ, useless.
Not even chess.
No, I'm playing nothing. I've been working.
You are garbage.
I know.
I'm playing Software Creation 2.1.
I've been playing this old strategy game called Metal Marines for review for the Super Nintendo. It's weird. It's very, very weird. I think, Ethan, you'd hate it. And I think you'd hate it too, Tony. Because, I mean, you guys are used to Empire Earth and all that shit, and this is so totally different.
It's real time?
It's I don't know what it is. It's real time turn based. So, oh my god, a raindrop just flew up into my window, not down but up.
How are you seeing that?
Because I saw a little fleck kind of curve up. It's like it's turn based in terms of when you start attacking. But let me start from the beginning. Actually, you're sitting there and you're building shit, right? And they're building shit just like any other RTS. But then when you attack, it's like you have to say, okay, I'm going to go into attack mode, and then from then on it kind of switches to an attack mode, in which like the other player can't necessarily retaliate. You know how Warcraft and Empire Earth and all that stuff is all unified, like you're just going away and going ahead and doing your thing, and if people come down, you send your soldiers after them to defend your base,
right?
Because it doesn't shift perspective, it doesn't do anything like that. This is kind of like the Zelda 2 of RTSs. You're walking around in Zelda 2, and then you get hit by an enemy, and then it goes into a totally different mode. It's like that here. So I'll be building all this crap, and then all of a sudden it'll go, enemy attack! And then it'll shift to this new mode where it's the same every single time. It always starts off with a salvo of missiles, and then they send these big mechs to come and stop all over your city. And that's it. And it happens all that way the whole time. And there's very little interaction between you and your enemy unless, like, you have your own mechs kind of sitting in that area waiting to
defend.
Sounds
like a bag of shit.
It's not. It really isn't, because, like, it's a bag of shit for the first hour when you're, like, trying to get acclimated to it. But then when you actually start to understand that, hey, this is the way that they decided this game to work, and here are the strategic considerations you need to make, and yada, 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 then, like, it starts becoming involving. It's not great, by any means, and I don't know if I'd recommend people to download it for $8, but it's not, you know, a like, if you're hardcore into strategy and, like, you have the patience of a saint, then it's worth it. I guess. I don't know.
Think it sounds kind of neat. I mean, I like the idea that you have to set up a whole bunch of defenses first, and then you can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
So, like, but I hear what you're saying.
It gives you what it does is gives you a sense of urgency. You're sitting there in your building, and you're like, "Oh shit, when are they going to come? When are they going to, you know, like, right. I got to hurry up."
Right.
But it just
You can attack them too, right?
Yes, and then okay. when that happens, it's kind of the same thing. Like, they'll be building, and then it'll go like you're attacking them. The thing that bothers me is that it feels so limited and so segregated. Like, I don't like that it's broken up necessarily. I don't mind that you can't really see what's coming. You know, when it's coming, just because, like I said, it gives you a sense of urgency. But it's not flexible at all. Like I said, the whole thing where you fire missiles and then you send your mechs in, like giant walking mechs, it's the same every time. Like in any other RTS, you could send in, like, air troops or whatnot, or attack them from the side or flank them and all that shit. And this, it's the same thing. When you attack, you select up to 4 missiles to fire at them, 4 distinct locations, and then you send in your Marines into 1 distinct location. And it's always that way. It's always that same way. The funny thing about it is that it also kind of plays out like Battleship, because all the battles take place across 2 islands. One is yours and one is theirs. So the biggest consideration is terrain management, as opposed to actually, like, tech trees and shit, because it's very limited in that, too. You can't age up. You can't do anything like that. I mean, I know that sounds like nitpicky because this game was released in 1992, but even Dune on the Genesis, I think, was pretty flexible with what you could do. I don't remember that much. Did you guys played Dune, right?
I played on the Sega CD.
I don't remember which version. I don't know if it was on Genesis, but maybe PC.
Because I know the Genesis one was pretty solid for its time, and it did a lot of flexible things. And this one, I don't know. This came out before that, but it's just frustrating. And, like, because it's in 2 islands and you actually don't see exactly what's on the other island at all, it kind of plays out like Battleship first. Like, you shoot your missiles over there, and depending on where they hit, like, sometimes you'll hit complete nothingness. You'll just hit the grass, and there's nothing there. And then only when your missile flies over structures do they appear on your, like, little mini-map. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of like... It turns from Battleship into, like, some weird chess-type thing where you can... I don't know. It's weird. I'll gift it to you with the new Wii gift service, which is actually... which actually is kind of cool. Like, you can send other people virtual console shit, like, over the Wii without... Like, I could send you this game as, like, a Christmas gift. Whoa, $8 for a Christmas gift. Wow. but I could do that. And you'd...
Can you wrap it?
Yes, you can wrap digital code that is not tangible. Yes, you're intelligent. I've also been playing Call of Duty 4, but not for the platform anyone would want me to. I actually played on DS, and it's pretty intense for a DS game. It is actually really intense. The music and the sound engineering is really good coming out of the speakers, but if you put your headphones on, you can kind of hear the compression a little bit more, but it's still really good. The action controls well, obviously, because anyone who's played Metroid Prime Hunters will know that the stylus works really well. And obviously the AI isn't as good as it is in normal Call of Duty games because it's DS. So they kind of stand there and take it, but there's a lot of them. So, and finally, I have been playing Castlevania for PSP, which you should buy, Tony.
Yeah, you told me.
Yes, you should buy it. I will say it again. Shout out to Jeff Gerstmann! Never let it die! Blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was my obligatory Gerstmann thing. Ethan, what have you been playing?
I'm really glad Gerstmann got fired.
You're an asshole.
GameSpot rules, and Cena is the best.
Wow. Delusional. Alright, we're moving on to the news. And we missed a huge story last time, and I don't know how we could have missed it, but there's this new strange company out there called Vivacta Blizzend Division, and that is basically the love child of Vivendi Universal merging with Activision. Vivendi owns Blizzard, so they decided to leverage that name and call the new company Activision Blizzard. And I believe they're the largest company, they're the largest publisher out there in terms of revenue.
Gonna beat EA's ass.
Actually, they are now because of all that revenue. And the fact that Vivendi has World of Warcraft and now this big conglomerate has World of Warcraft that is a continuous revenue-generating company. But $15 every customer every month from Al. And then everything else, they've got Guitar Hero, they've got...
They got StarCraft coming out.
Call of Duty. StarCraft 2. They came out and said, like, exploit. They were like, we're going to exploit our brands. And Penny Arcade made a funny comic about that. They're going to... Call of Duty 5 and Guitar Hero 4 is all but announced. I mean, they came out and said, like, yeah, we're going to exploit these brands. So they're going to come out with it yearly. They got Tony Hawk. They've got... what else has Activision done?
Pac-Man.
Yes, they have done Pac-Man. Man. And actually they haven't, because that's Namco. It's a Japanese company.
Jesus Christ.
You don't know your sushi.
Where they get in the game?
So everybody's talked to death about this because we missed it already and it's over a week old, but does anybody have anything to say about Vivacta Blizzend Division?
Yeah, they're going to make Pitfall versus Diablo. That'll be a good game.
Sure.
Ethan, you know that was good.
I'm trying to hold you up on that one, but that just sucked.
Poor Ethan. Any
I think it is kind of cool that there's a company now that's bigger than EA, and it's just going to wind up like every other industry. So it might be even like a topic by itself.
You think that there's speculation that EA might go out and buy their own revenue generating kind of dealy? Actually, something that I overheard as well that I kind of forgot about. Is the fact that, what's it called? They own BioWare. So BioWare is also working on, I believe, a Star Wars MMO.
Oh my god, that'll be huge.
That's supposed to be better than Galaxies, which everyone hated. Yeah. So, I mean, that could be their thing. But yeah, maybe this could be a topic on its own. Shall we move on?
Yep.
This is a victory for us. Rockstar wins Manhunt 2 appeal. The decision by the British Board of Film Classification to ban the controversial action-adventure game is overturned. This is by GameSpot's Emma Boyes in the UK. Just over 2 weeks ago, a day-long appeal against the British Board of Film Classification decision to refuse classification to the game Manhunt 2 was held in central London. By the way, I actually got Manhunt 2 on a 2-for-1 deal from Amazon, so I will see. I'll tell you guys how bad it is. Seven members of the independent panel assigned by the BBFC listened to the evidence presented from both sides before retiring to deliberate a verdict. The argument from the legal representative for Manhunt 2 and Rockstar was that it did not deserve to be singled out and that it was no more or less violent than similar games currently released in the country, including The Suffering, The Ties That Bind, and the original Manhunt. Wow, so they are logical. I mean, did they? I don't know if they mention anywhere here things like Saw or anything, but let's see. David Cook, the director of the BBFC, commented in a statement, "The BBFC will carefully study the judgment by the Video Appeals Committee when it becomes available." The BBFC twice rejected Manhunt 2 for its focus on varied and cumulative killings. We recognize that rejection is a very serious step in which the desire of publishers to market their games and that of gamers to buy them must be balanced against the public interest, including the full range of possible harm risk. Vulnerable individuals and to any children who may be wrongly exposed to such games.
How does a child get wrongly exposed to something? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Because the parent does not control it.
Here's 50 such bucks. Go wrongly expose yourself to this, fucking...
Such balancing judgments are inevitably complex and multifaceted and are made only after very careful consideration of the contents of a work.
I'm thinking we need to cut off everyone's genitals because children may accidentally be exposed to them.
You know they do that in Manhunt, too. I think they...
Well, I think genitals? That's... Then you know what? The game is just, like, enforcing what the board wanted.
It's ahead of its time, man.
I think it should have embraced the game. Could have gotten more people on board with cutting people's genitals off and protecting young minds.
Should have had in-game abortions.
What?
Or not.
Jesus Christ.
Just today. The funny thing is that this game called No More Heroes that came out for Wii in Japan also recently came out in Europe, I think. No, it didn't come out in Europe. It was announced that they took out the blood for the European versions. So it's like, there's still... I don't know. I shouldn't. It's hard to really make fun or whatever Europe for censoring all this gore and violence when we are so uppity about sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just it's
they're very liberal about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we just all come together? You know,
sex and violence.
Yeah, and not neither sex nor violence.
And integrate sex and want. Violence.
Jerry Falwell, are you understanding what?
Am I correct in understanding that some of the violence depicted in Manhunt 2 is like done in black and white? So it's like
some,
to not.
No, and I'll probably make a video of this at some point. But
okay.
Every kill,
mm-hmm.
is filtered with some weird static, weird colors and weird like gobbledygook. So you can kind of see a blob. Doing something to another blob that looks like it might possibly, potentially be something that resembles violence.
Mm-hmm.
The only real thing that indicates it's the filter version. It's all the filter. So they had the original version, and then you know they were told, you know, you guys suck. We're going to give it an AO, and so they said, fine, we're not going to change the entire game. So we're just going to slap this hokey filter above it. Go watch some videos from video reviews online, and you'll see that it's just like ugh. In the PS2 version, I think it's less filtered, but it's still enough that you can't tell. Like, they basically blurred it a lot.
That's terrible.
In the PS2 version. And the only real indication that you're doing something nasty is the sound effects, and that, you know, that's enough.
Anybody release a non-filtered version yet that you know of?
No, not legally.
No, I know. I mean, even illegally.
There is a patch for the PSP version, which requires you to break a lot of copyrights and, you know, do illegal stuff to your PSP in order to do it. So I'm not going to detail how to do it, and I won't endorse it, but it's there, you know.
Okay.
So, but it's a complete hacker thing. You know, it's not like a cheat code or anything. It's actually hacked because what they basically did was, like I said, they kept the content intact, but they were like, you know what? This is too violent now, so let's put a filter over it. So I guess the hackers just remove the filter.
Mm-hmm.
So, any more comments on this, or...
I'm going on a manhunt!
Well, Electronic Arts...
we're all gonna bleed!
Apparently says that casual gamers don't read reviews. They don't, quote, read those things.
They don't need to.
Well, I don't know what her name is. Kathy Vrabeck is the president of EA Casual. I get less concerned about game reviews because the casual gamers don't read any of those things. They're not swayed by a low score in IGN or a low score out of one of these gaming sites. It's a little bit amusing in that it's people reviewing games against the measures that are important to core gamers, not true, yet are not important to casual gamers. She says she's contending that game reviewers don't review casual games the right way. And
well,
that
where
shows,
is she getting the data?
She's not getting data. She's just basically spewing shit out of her own ass.
Okay,
because,
fuck her.
I mean, if you're a professional game reviewer, yes, I'm certain that there are some out there who don't know how to do their job correctly, but part of a reviewer's job is to know the audience of a game and review it appropriately. I mean, everybody gave Wii Sports like a 7.5 or an 8, which is a good score, right? I mean, honestly, if I were to marathon play Wii Sports, I'd give it like a 5. Because there's very little to it, right? It's just you're sitting there and you're playing sports games over and over again. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many people will like flame you for it. That's the fact. You know, it's not something that I can play as a hardcore gamer for hours on end and be involved in it. But as you know, a game that it's aimed for a certain audience, it does its job well, and I would, you know, evaluate it on those merits. And so has everyone else who has reviewed Wii Sports.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why something like Wii Play got such low scores is because when you read the test, you can see that sometimes the games just don't work that well. So that's why. Sometimes these casual games just don't work well, and that's why they get reviewed harshly. And sometimes they get... I don't know. And she also looks like a toad. Meanwhile, there's a response from a casual gaming website that says, I'm a casual gamer, and I review games, and people do review stuff from our website. This is from this website called GameZebo.com, and that's spelled G-A-M-E-Z-E-B-O. This author's name is Erin Bell. She says, my phone's ringing, it's probably one of my friends, but as much as I enjoy gabbing with her all day, I'm going to have to ignore her, blah, 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 blah. Okay, here we go. Here's where she references that review. In a recent interview with Next Gen, EA Casual President Kathy Vrabeck said what I just read to you. And then she goes, statements like these are intensely patronizing, not only to media outlets like GameZebo who focus on the casual market, but also to the millions of discerning, media-savvy casual gamers who drive the multi-billion dollar casual games industry. If casual gamers didn't read reviews, I wouldn't have a job. If EA were to delve deeper into its target audience instead of dismissing and generalizing casual gamers, it would find a thriving and passionate community that is capable of judging good from bad. These are people who post in forums, trade gameplay hints and tips with each other, compete for high scores on online leaderboards, and wait impatiently for sequels to their favorite franchises. Most importantly, casual gamers recognize the value of aesthetics and compelling gameplay and certainly can't be easily conned into forking over money for any old type of junk. The major difference between so-called casual gamers and so-called hardcore gamers is simply in the games that they play. Some people just want to build stuff or solve puzzles or search for hidden objects or engross themselves in an interactive story instead of stealing cars or wreaking havoc with a machine gun. I mean, there's a whole contingent of people who like play Puzzle Quest. Actually, no, not even Puzzle Quest, just Bejeweled on the PC. You know? So it's like they probably would not want to pay for a Bejeweled 3, which is the same thing with like different colored jewels. I have stated before that I have very little trust in people, but I don't think they're that stupid when it comes down to spending $20 for a puzzle game. They're not going to sit there and just throw it away. Do you guys know any so-called casual gamers?
I think it depends on how you define casual gamers, and I think that's the problem here. In the EA article, I think that she'd say GameZebo.com isn't actually for casual gamers, regardless of what it says. She'd say that since they go and read reviews, they are not casual gamers. So she's talking about a market out there that isn't reading reviews because they're written for hardcore gamers. And then maybe the GameZebo person is talking about, well, these are casual gamers, but they're different than hardcore gamers, but they still read reviews, but not necessarily all the reviews. So I'm kind of actually confused at the GameZebo comment.
She is talking about casual gamers in the EA article. She is talking about gamers who play these casual games, because when she talks about reviewing these games, she specifically says, these are the values that are, she says, people who review these games are not reviewing it on the values that a casual game should be reviewed on. So she's implying that, you know, anybody who would, you know, write a review on a casual, anybody who would read a review on a casual game, you know, would be misled because they're not reading what's supposed to be written for them. So
then we want to look at the percentage of we want to look at the number of hits on sites like GameZebo for games that are quote unquote casual games, and then we want to look at the percentage of people of purchases of those games and do the same thing for hardcore games and figure out if casual gamers actually do read reviews. There's a simple statistical way of looking at it.
Well, what I'm saying here though is that it doesn't even matter because because you're right, it has to be defined what they mean by casual. I think in this instance though, she is talking about simply the people who play games that are less taxing, less involving, not necessarily the amount to which they play games. You know what I mean? Because there is another definition there. Okay, because there's a definition of people who play games casually in the sense that they'll pick up Madden once in a while and that's it. But that's not what she's talking about.
That's fine. What I'm saying is you can't... There is no way to understand how many casual gamers are out there, just like there is no way to understand how many hardcore gamers there are out there without doing some kind of
look at purchases versus...
hits on a website.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still a blanket statement that the EA person has just made.
The difference there is she's making a causal relationship between something that may or may not be causal. That people writing the reviews are not writing them right, which is why the casual gamers aren't reading them.
No. I'm sorry. I think that all that mush came together in the wrong way. She was basically saying, if you read the article, she's saying like, you know, oh, they don't. First of all, they don't read those things. Second of all, they're wrong anyways. So she's not saying because they're reviewed the wrong way, casual gamers don't read them. I think she's basically just dismissing them. And the funny thing is that this comes in the wake of the whole Jeff Gerstmann thing. So yeah. I don't know if she's referencing that or if she just came out and said it because she felt like saying it. But it's pretty funny if this site that's dedicated to casual games, and by that I mean that like all the games here are puzzle games and like lighter games, like they don't review Gears of War or anything like that. I think it's funny that like there's a site out there that's just like, excuse me, no, otherwise I'd be homeless, thank you. So I don't know. I think my biggest contention with the EA thing was just how she said that reviewers don't do it right, and I'm like, no, you're wrong. And I think this other GameZebo thing, it was just an interesting kind of lashback to that. So,
The phone call was cute.
Huh?
The phone call.
There was a phone call?
Never mind.
Okay. Let's see. On the casual games tip, Guitar Hero 3 triggers a lawsuit. If you own a Wii, and you own Guitar Hero 3 for that Wii, and you own a stereo television, stuff that's supposed to come out on the left channel will come out on both. That is a phenomenon known as mono. Not the disease, but the opposite of stereo sound. So reading this GameSpot article here by Tom Magrino. Last week, Activision copped to widespread reports that its popular rhythm-based music game Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock was not outputting stereo audio despite Dolby Pro Logic 2 surround sound support clearly being displayed on the game's box. In order to rectify the problem, the publisher revealed plans to remaster and reissue the Wii version of the game at no charge to purchasers in early 2008. I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah,
but now there's a lawsuit because they said that Activision engaged in deceptive and unlawful conduct in designing, manufacturing, marketing, distributing, and selling a defectively designed music video game for the Nintendo Wii game console. The complaint points to aforementioned claims by Activision that the game outputs mono or single-channel sound only despite stereo sound and Dolby Pro Logic 2 surround sound being advertised on the game's box. I think I heard elsewhere in another podcast that the lawsuit stated that the company failed to act and take responsibility and act on the mistake, which is contentious because they did claim responsibility and they are acting on it. I think the issue here is timeliness. I don't know if that was specified, though.
I don't understand why this is a, you know, many people may think this is like a slight oversight. This to me is huge because for every other platform, the sound comes out perfectly. Am I correct? Why for the
Yes.
Wii? Why for the Wii? Did they like really fucking botch this? I don't understand. What was it like during compression? I don't understand why the Wii.
It's a new platform that they started working on. They haven't put it out on the platform before. It could just be that. I mean, there's several.
Yeah, but how did they not find that in testing?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know that the testing, the QA process was so focused enough on... Because when you play
guitar... No, I know what you're saying, but, like, dude, if you're a fucking tester...
Look, they recorded in stereo. It's just taking that information and just copying it. That's all they're doing. There should be no fucking reason why this was put in mono. That's it. So, what's next?
I think it's more Guitar Hero. Now, if Activision weren't facing enough grief over this, Harmonix has issued a patch, or they wanted to issue a patch, for Guitar Hero 3 guitars to work on Rock Band. Now, if you don't remember the history, here's the skinny. Harmonix and Red Octane. Red Octane manufactures the actual guitars for Guitar Hero. They partnered up to put out the first Guitar Hero. Harmonix did the coding, all the music, and all that stuff. And Red Octane made the peripheral, and they put that out. The second game, by the time the second game rolled around, Activision bought Red Octane. So Red Octane, the guitar maker and the co-publisher, is in cahoots with Activision, and Harmonix was still on board to program the game. And then Harmonix said, we don't know what happens. Either Harmonix said, we want to leave and make Rock Band, or Activision said, we're just going to let Neversoft develop this from now on. One of the two things happened. And so what happened was that Harmonix now went to EA to make Rock Band and got bought by MTV. And Neversoft, who made the Tony Hawk games, which is a real stretch going to a music game, are now making Guitar Hero. So now you've got Red Octane making guitars for Guitar Hero only. And Harmonix says, you know what, let's go to Fender to have them model us some toy guitars and all that shit. So now, Guitar Hero guitars and Rock Band guitars don't work with each other's game. And so what Harmonix did was, well, you know what? A controller is a controller is a controller. So we're going to code our game to be open so that any controller can play our game. If you have the Xbox 360 version of Guitar Hero, of Rock Band, you can use all your Guitar Hero guitars on it. If you have the PS3 version, somehow you can't. And Harmonix said, this is messed up. We're going to make a patch. So the patch is nowhere to be found, but they've had it ready for weeks, allegedly. And so the story from Game Life says, Guitar Hero maker Activision is blocking the release of a patch that would allow the company's PlayStation 3 guitar controller to be used with competing game Rock Band, says developer Harmonix. In a statement emailed to Wired today, Rock Band makers Harmonix said that they created the patch, which was submitted to Sony and approved for release on Tuesday, December 4th.
Mm-hmm.
But Harmonix said Sony told them that the patch will not be released due to Activision's objection. Rock Band is currently only available in a bundle package that includes one guitar controller, one drum controller, and one microphone. Now, if players want the entire four-player experience on the PlayStation 3, they currently have to buy an entire second bundle, which, if you guys may not know, it's $170.
No, what the fuck? I mean,
I just had one thing to say. I can't believe they didn't find that in testing.
They probably found that, and they're like, good, we don't want them to be able to use it. But,
I cannot believe that.
Yeah. But Activision says Harmonix is painting a misleading picture. In response to Harmonix's statement yesterday that Activision is blocking the release of a patch that would allow Guitar Hero 3 PS3 controller to function with Rock Band, Activision says that the Rock Band maker paints a very misleading picture of the situation. Harmonix and its parent company, MTV Games and Viacom, recently declined Activision's offer to reach an agreement that would allow use of a Guitar Hero guitar controllers with Rock Band. To music gaming fans, and this is a letter from Activision, the recent announcement, blah, 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 blah. In fact, Harmonix... did I just read this? Yeah, I did. Here's the second part. We have been and remain open to discussions with Harmonix, MTV Games, /Viacom about the use of our technology in Rock Band. Unfortunately for Rock Band users, in the case, Harmonix and MTV Games are unwilling to discuss an agreement with Activision, which I kind of don't understand. Like, I don't know what to say here, only because Harmonix had a patch out there ready and willing and able. But what Chris Kohler speculates is that he says, it's becoming a little clear what's going on. It sounds like Activision is talking about an agreement, but they really mean some kind of licensing situation.
Yeah, or they're getting paid.
Yeah.
Mm.
So instead of having the game work on open standards, they want Harmonix to pay Activision for use of their guitars. Now that that's clear, I don't know that this is so ridiculous. I mean, it's people are going to be mad that they can't just use things, you know, cross-platform. But from a business perspective, I guess I can kind of understand that, hey, like, you're using our shit in your competing product. What's the deal? Why don't we get some cut out of it? So, I don't know. I mean, anything else? Because there's some more Rock Band news after this.
No. Move it on. Jesus. They're in.
Let me get this. Rock Band came out only in stereo.
Yeah, there's no mono.
No mono. No mono version.
No.
That is ridiculous.
Which is shit. But I mean, like, what are your thoughts about the business implications of this? You know, in terms of, like, people want an open platform, an open standard to be able to use this shit cross-platform, but, you know, it's in Activision's best interest to ask for a licensing fee.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's they're competitors.
Right.
I mean, it's not fair to consumers, but that's just business. That's it. It's just business.
Well, I don't know where the ownership of the... I mean, it's... I don't know how the licensing works with the console makers in terms of controllers versus games.
Right.
So where... You know what I mean? Like, right, I design a controller, and that controller is supposed to, I guess, work with any game.
Right.
But they're kind of designing this controller to work with only their game, and I don't know... That sounds a little odd.
Well, here's another question. If they made a wireless guitar to begin with... what it would be like if they were really for consumers, wouldn't it work with any platform? Wouldn't they code it or make a patch or something that could work with any platform, like it has it built into the guitar? No, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to do that. You know, you're going to have to buy your whole bundle, and that's it. You want to play with a, you know. Sorry.
What Harmonix was saying, and what EA was saying, well, Harmonix mostly, is that they said they designed the game as an open platform, meaning that it should accept any regular controller. And so the Rock Band guitar is really just a controller in the shape of a guitar. So it conforms to Microsoft's standards as far as controllers go, and I'd imagine PlayStation standards. So theoretically, anything that registers as a controller should work with that software, and as a result, so should the Guitar Hero controller. Mm-hmm. The flip side is that Rock Band guitars don't work with Guitar Hero because there's a possibility that the Guitar Hero was coded such that mm-hmm. it's not an open platform, that it requires the guitar to be recognized as a specific Guitar Hero guitar. So that's where that whole hubbub comes from. And then the reason why the PS3 Guitar Hero guitar doesn't work with Rock Band, I have no idea why. Why they even needed to have a patch in the first place. So I don't know if there's any legality there or any different thoughts there with the respects to, well, this is an open platform, so any controller should work with this. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, we would like to patch it up to make it so. Does that make anything different in your eyes? Because you guys are the more legal eagles.
No.
I don't think we're more legal or eagle. And they should have found it in testing.
Yeah. They probably did, and they were like, "Shh, don't tell anyone."
Exactly.
Wait till you see the next story.
Let's give
they
Activision
should have found
grief.
This in testing.
Yeah, they should have found thieves kidnapping a driver and stealing 1,000 copies of Rock Band off a truck.
Lucky guys.
So that you know, that's about $170,000 worth of merchandise.
Say it, Ethan. eBay.
That's going to be edited out because my ears just...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, come on.
No, it's going to sound
fine.
Like a bunch
if
of...
clip. No, cut it out. Cut
it's
it out.
It's going to sound like... Yesterday, thieves hijacked a truck filled with 1,000 copies of Rock Band. The LA Times reports that robbers kidnapped a truck's driver and held him at gunpoint while they unloaded the truck's contents worth of $170,000. After the theft, the driver was released unharmed. Or was
inside
the driver
job.
In on it?
Inside job. Inside job.
We should probably move on off of Guitar Hero and Rock Band. But oh wait, we can't, because Tony found this awesome story.
Oh god.
Some of you may have already heard about the Canadian teen who was caught smoking pot. His dad upset over his son doing drugs, put the copy of Guitar Hero 3 for Wii that was being saved as a Christmas present for the boy on eBay. The auction mentioned, "While I doubt that this will keep him from ever smoking pot again, I think it will make him think twice before doing illegal drugs on my property." The game went for a whopping $9,100, which inevitably led to loads of problematic youth spawned gaming paraphernalia. Blah, 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 blah. So, and Tony mentioned that there was a confusion between $9,000 and $10,400. I think that's just a currency conversion because this sold. You said this sold in Australia, right?
No, it's Canada. Huh?
It sold in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Australian article wrote $10,440. And if anyone's confused, it's the same amount. It's just conversion between Australian and American. And finally, we can get off the freaking Guitar Hero Rock Band wagon and go to stupid quote of the year, although there are many stupider quotes before this. Sony Chairman Sir Howard Stringer says that PS3 games are infinitely more fun than Wii games.
And who wrote this article?
Susan Arendt from I don't know if you listen.
Poor woman.
I don't know if you listened to last week's podcast, but we ended with your little Arendt ramble. Sony Chairman Howard Stringer is confident that the PS3 will have its day because its games are infinitely more fun, demanding, and exciting than Wii games. Stringer told the UK's Guardian that we've got some catching up to do, and wasn't ashamed to admit that the Wii seems to be running a bit short on hardware. The Sony exec also confessed that he'd been concerned about the PS3's fate, but felt much more confident about that now in the light of console's recent sales performance in Japan. If anyone remembers, it outsold Wii 2 weeks running. This is just a quote. I mean, I think it's funny, but... if anyone, you know, wants to jump on this and say, "Oh my god, blah 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 blah, he's a Sony fanboy." Well, he is a Sony fanboy because he is the chairman of the company. Maybe. I mean, it's like Reggie saying all his random shit. You know,
Like a Stringer going to come out and be like, "You know what? Wii's better."
Yeah,
buy that one.
So yeah, I mean it's just funny to hear this. It's like when
you're right.
When Ken Kutaraki was like, "Oh, the PS3 is going to be $600," but no. Before he announced the price, he was just like, "You know what? This is going to be such an elegant piece of machinery that you will want to work two jobs in order to afford it. So price will be of no question. You won't be worried about what it's costing because you will want it anyways." Nice. And everyone was like, "No, we'll go buy a 360. Thank you." As is determined by sales, which we will get to later. Mm-hmm. But first. Wii games are not as fun to play as Sony games because virtual console games have no online play. Mm. Nintendo confirmed that it will never have online play for its virtual console games. The voice chat may be possible. This is from Tom Grimagirino over GameSpot. He begins, Pokemon Snap released this week as part of Nintendo's weekly virtual console updates. Let's gamers share photos taken in-game with their online friends via the Wii's new photo sharing functionality. That's an update that I didn't know about. That's pretty cool. The online photo sharing capabilities caused a stir after they were initially revealed, with speculation running rampant as to whether Nintendo would be making a regular habit of adding online functionality to Wii Virtual Console games, with features such as leaderboards or the type of multiplayer modes found in the select Xbox Live Arcade classics. And basically, Ridge said no. that's been a major bone to pick from everyone. Like they'll download Street Fighter. Streets of Rage 2 on Xbox Live Arcade instead of on Wii Virtual Console because they can play online with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing for Street Fighter, actually. You know, I can't play Street Fighter 2 Turbo Edition with you online on the Wii, but I can on the 360 with the shitty D-pad. So, they're not
That D-pad does suck.
On the 360, yeah.
Oh, it's
my
terrible.
God. Download the demo of Street Fighter 2 mm-hmm. and try to play it.
But, no.
You're like, no, I won't. I don't want to waste my time.
Oh,
but,
no.
But yeah, I mean, it's this kind of thing where it's like they don't want to update their games at all. Mm-hmm. They just kind of want to release them on the console without any changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess especially at this price point, depending on who you ask, you know, it's okay or it's a bad thing. Like people say that I can pay $5 for the arcade version of Golden Axe on the Xbox 360. I can mm-hmm. get achievements, and I get the full arcade experience. Whereas you could probably play online. Yeah, you can play online in the Xbox mm-hmm. 360 version. Whereas the Wii version, I download this for $8,
and it's the Genesis version.
I get the
right?
Genesis version, but I get more stages, and I get the duel, and I get all these options. But I don't get online multiplayer. I don't get achievements, mm-hmm. and I don't get the arcade graphics.
Ooh.
So it's like, for that value proposition, do you maybe want to add some online play in there just to kind of give people more incentive? They probably don't care enough. But it's probably less of a financial issue there because, I don't know, they're just basically slapping the game onto the service, whereas I think mm-hmm. with the 360, they, you know, you have to go in there and you have to make additions to it. So there's some kind of vested interest in...
Well, no, they spend money, but they make money. So that's what it all comes down to. They're just doing direct ports for the virtual console.
Yep, it's basically emulation.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, should they include it? Absolutely, sure. What's the harm? Everybody's been complaining about it.
And then they say voice chat might be possible. He says, I wouldn't be surprised if you see that in the future. I don't know if he's talking specifically about Virtual Console. I hope not, because if you don't have multiplayer on Virtual Console, there's probably no point to having voice chat unless you want to save on your phone bill. But I think he's talking about online overall, that there's voice chat. There's voice chat on the DS.
Yeah.
There should be voice chat here. any more slamming of the fact that this system doesn't have a hard drive, or should we move on?
Ethan?
I think that sucks.
They should have found it in testing. Here's a funny thing. Shigeru Miyamoto, creator of Mario and Zelda, doesn't know what Ratchet and Clank is.
Wow.
This is from Kotaku. They said, back in October, Insomniac's Ryan Schneider made some lighthearted comments about Ratchet and Clank being Miyamoto's inspiration for Mario Galaxy. Which is funny because Ratchet and Clank has been inspired by every other platformer before it. It's mm-hmm. just better done. Sadly, many Nintendo and Insomniac fans took it a little too seriously and made a big hullabaloo out of the whole thing. Indeed, it was such a hullabaloo that when they got the chance to interview Miyamoto, UK's official Nintendo magazine decided to ask him whether or not he'd really base Galaxy's spherical worlds on those found in Ratchet and Clank. His response? It's not an idea we got from anywhere else. I'm sorry, but I have to admit that I've never seen the game in question. Is it a PC game?
Oh, plausible deniability. That's a plausible deniability. He's so phony.
I don't think he can really win in this situation if he hasn't heard of Ratchet and Clank. As a lead designer of you know, such a huge company, sometimes you kind of want to keep an eye on your competitors to see what they're doing. And if he really does know about this game, then obviously he's covering up. So he can't really win there. And I think it's still pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Wii games are not as fun as PS3 games, infinitely so. And this guy has never heard of Ratchet and Clank.
Right.
What are you going to say, Ethan?
I can't. Never mind. Using the word infinitely is just funny.
Infinitely more fun.
I don't know what other other adjectives you use.
It's like infinite percent.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly, percent maybe. It's 40% less fun.
Like, there's a sticker. There's a sticker on the box. The blast like, oh, 35% more fun.
Right. According to our testing, it's 30. Oh, never mind.
Nintendo announces Wii Rain Check program. If anybody remembers Star Wars figures coming out in to heavy demand but short supply and getting like a voucher saying that you can get this figurine when it comes out, this is pretty much the same thing. Chris Kohler writes, to help assuage consumers' complaints that they can't find a Wii, Nintendo has announced this morning that it will begin a Wii Rain Check program. Customers who pay in full for a Wii before Christmas can get a rain check that they will be able to redeem for a Wii in January. Nintendo also said that many Wii systems will be available in big box retailers on Sunday, which means today. Mm-hmm. Nintendo, which means 2 days ago if you're listening to this on Tuesday. Nintendo President Reggie Fils-Aimé said in a conference call this morning that the rain check program will be run entirely through GameStop, who says has many tens of thousands of certificates. So you have to go to GameStop and get a voucher and relive 1977 all over again. How would you like as little Timmy to come down to your Christmas tree, opening up this big box with a tiny little gift certificate, and says, "Hey, we couldn't get it for you now, but
here's the IOU.
In March, you should be able to get it.
A big IOU note. That's what you get for Christmas. IOU a Wii. That sucks.
I don't know. The conspiracy theorist in me still wants to say that they've been holding back supply, but given this would be the time to unleash that supply. I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore, especially because I already have a Wii. I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
and I know that I have a Wii without a hard drive.
But that's kind of like bullshit. How are you going to give money for no product? I don't care. You're just getting a voucher. There's no way I'm paying $250 for a voucher. I may put like $50 down for like it's a pre-order. There's no fucking way I'm getting $250 for a voucher.
Yeah, that's kind of
that's stupid.
That's a lot of money for a slip of paper. Maybe no, they wouldn't do that. I was gonna say maybe you could put like $25 down and then pay the rest. They probably wouldn't honor that because then you could kind of come into the store and say, "Hey, yeah, I put $25 down, but I kind of don't have the money yet, but I still have the voucher." And they're like, "No."
Well, look, when it comes to GameStop, when you pre-order a game, you put like a certain amount of money down. Like you could either put $10 or $5, even, you know, on some games. And if they have it on stock and it's on short demand, those who pre-ordered get it. Those who didn't pre-order have to buy either a magazine to get it or some other bullshit, you know. Yeah, it's a, you know, they do that bullshit. But you know, there's no fucking way that somebody should pay $250 for no product. There's no way. Wow, that's just a scam. That is a total fucking
Star
scam.
Star Wars all over again.
That's a scam, man.
Well,
Ethan,
I guess I don't know if it matters because they're selling so many.
Yeah.
But someone else is selling strong. That's Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed, despite EGM giving it a 4 out of 10 in one of its reviews. The others were 6.5 and 7, but then GameSpot gave it a 9.0, but then IGN gave it a 7.7, but then Game Informer gave it a 9, but then someone else gave it... Assassin's Creed is like the hugely mixed. Like, it's one of the most polarized reviews I've ever seen. But does it matter because it sold, let's see, 2.5 million units since November 13th, which is apparently the highest-selling original IP, the highest-selling original franchise at the time of its launch. And I think they said it beat out Gears of War.
Really? Wow.
And then Ubisoft is expecting sales of $1.21 billion. And money, numbers, blah, blah, blah. The important thing they have to know is that Assassin's Creed sold a lot. Mm-hmm. But then Far Cry 2 has been pushed to 2009, as well as Brothers in Arms and End War, and then something else I don't care about. Wow. So, if you're looking forward to Far Cry 2, you're going to have to wait, which is kind of okay because we have Crysis. Far Cry is actually not being handled by Crytek. Crytek, I think, I don't know if they sold the franchise name or they licensed it out to Ubisoft's internal studios, but Ubisoft is going to be working on it.
Or maybe they were just too busy with Crysis.
Yeah. Probably, and they probably want to move on. The other thing is that I read a preview on Far Cry 2, and I think it has almost nothing to do with the prequel. Like,
really?
The only thing is probably the jungle environment, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's being delayed. And here's some bad news. A Hong Kong father abandons daughter to game.
What?
A 31-year-old single father left a 7-year-old daughter to fend for herself while he hid up an arcade after being informed that children are not allowed inside.
Where did he leave her?
I don't know.
Did he just, like, leave her at the door and go in?
Oh, wait, here we go.
That's, I understand. Fucking hilarious.
He left the girl alone in the street for an hour after the staff told him children were not allowed in the arcade. He then sat her in a restaurant with a drink from, I hope it's not an alcoholic drink, for 3 more hours while he continued playing games before a staff called police to track down the father.
The fuck?
When he's arrested, Chan told the police, I have to play video games.
What kind of arcade?
Oh
yeah, what kind
God.
Of arcade was this? What was he playing? Virtual Titty 2000 or something? I don't know. What? Why would he leave his daughter, and why is she not allowed in an arcade?
Probably because, I'm trying to remember, when I was back in Taiwan, I don't know if they run the arcades similarly, but you know, they allow cigarette smoke in there, and I think they might have alcohol in there, and if not,
oh, really?
it's just an environment that is not, it's not a child-friendly environment in some arcades over there, so it's like... It's, you know, you get Chuck E. Cheese's, and you get Dave and Buster's. Well, forget about that because it has alcohol. But, you know, places like that, amusement parks, Six Flags. But then you've got, like, the other arcades that, you know that are kind of seedy. You know, like, gangsters hang out there. Kids looking to make trouble. Those ragamuffins, you know, are sitting in there. Mm-hmm. And it's just not friendly for kids. It's not a kid-friendly environment. So I guess they clamped down there and said kids aren't allowed inside.
It just sounds funny the way they word it, like he just threw out to wolves or some shit like that just to play video games.
Yeah.
Man, that's fucked up.
That's sad. Well, here's some... We're going to close up with some sales numbers, because everyone likes numbers. Japan! Okay. 168,000 DS Lite sold in Japan, 115,000 Wiis, 91,000 PSPs, 38,000 PlayStation 3s, 12,000 PS2s, and...
Hell, God, that's staggering.
A friendly 9,000, barely, not even 9,000 Xbox 360s.
Wow.
I think, though, it's already caught up and surpassed Xbox One sales. Mm-hmm. There are reports, I don't know if this is true, but I think people on other podcasts have said this, like for EGM and stuff, that the Xbox is still selling its original shipment.
Really?
Huh. From 2001. Like, if you buy an Xbox in Japan, that was from the original shipment.
Wow.
I don't know how true that is, but it'd be pretty funny if true. But who cares about Japan when we can talk about America? Nintendo DS sold 1.53 million units in November. So that's
here?
Yeah.
Or wow.
In America, selling Nintendo Japanese products. We got to put that to a stop. But that's a lot of happy kids. Wii sold 981,000.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox 360 sold 770,000. PSP sold 567,000. PlayStation 2 at 496, and PlayStation 3 at the bottom of the list. But it still sold 466,000.
How do you get undersold by your predecessor? Yeah, how do you get undersold by your predecessor? How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
why
oversold,
is DS kicking
yeah.
ass?
Yeah.
I would say it's a combination of the fact that it's $130. Everyone, like, all the kids identify with the Nintendo brand easier. They have recognizable faces for parents and kids. Mario, Zelda, Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Pokemon is always a million seller among casual games. And people like Al, who, you know, game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Geraldo.
What? Huh?
That was a failed joke.
It's, you know, the PSP is... It is at a good price point, actually. It's at $200, but it's still more expensive. The games are more expensive overall. The games are not as overall family-friendly. The Nintendo DS has, like, this gimmick where you can use a touchscreen, and everybody loves it, and it works well. You know, it's just a combination of all those factors that just kind of roll up.
And it has online chat?
Yeah, it has online chat when the Wii doesn't.
And the PSP doesn't. What does PSP have?
I don't know. The PSP might. I don't know.
Really? Think so?
Yeah, because it does have online play, so... But yeah, I mean, it's just... Everybody identifies with that name, and, like, they're so trendy now with the Wii being such a success. People who probably wouldn't have thought about DS before now sees it and is like, oh, that's by the same company that does that Waggle Remote Magic Wand thing! And you can touch it! Oh! And, you know, they buy it. You know, it's just a combination of those things. I mean... Considering that the Xbox 360 sold 770,000, that's also enormously well for a console that is $400.
Yeah. But just remember, Austin, PlayStation 3 is infinitely more fun. Yeah.
That's true. So they're the big winner. Actually, the Xbox 360 isn't that expensive anymore. I should say that it's $350 for premium pack, I think. And then you got the Halo edition, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think it's $400 for the Halo edition, and I think it's $280 for the so-called arcade edition, which does not come with a hard drive or component cables.
Right.
But it comes with like 5 free Xbox Live Arcade games packed in, I guess. And you have a huge memory card, so
yeah.
That, like, when you compare it to a $250 Wii, $280 isn't that bad of a deal for that system. So, mm-hmm. But I mean, everything was doing well. I mean, I debate that the PS3 also did well this month too, given that, you know, it still has a higher price point of $500 mm-hmm. for the higher end model. The lower end model is $400, yeah, but it's kind of gimped. I don't know how mm-hmm. many consumers know that though. That's the thing,
right?
So, and also everyone's got to do well this month. It's freaking holiday season, Black Friday, yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So, game wise, Call of Duty 4, Ethan, Q.
Duty.
There you go. 1.57 million sales. The Wii, there's only one version of Super Mario Galaxy. Super Mario Galaxy sold 1.12 million, which is actually kind of a lot. I wasn't expecting to do that much. I don't know why. Probably because everyone's buying Wii Play. Which is later on this list. Assassin's Creed sold 980,000. The PS2 version of Guitar Hero 3 sold at 967,000, probably because they couldn't find 360 versions. Wii Play sold 564,000. Jesus Christ, that's number 5 on the list. When will this ever drop off the list? Mass Effect sold 473,000. The PS3 version of Call of Duty.
Duty.
There you go. 444,000. The Wii version of Guitar Hero 3 sold mono. Halo yep. 3 sold sold over 400,000. And now they're probably getting them returned back to the stores. Actually, side note on that mono thing, the stores in Europe actually slapped a sticker over that stereo part so that like it wouldn't be false advertising. I don't know if that does any good, but that's what they did.
Well, I don't know. Does it come from the company or just the stores?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Because if it's just the stores, then it's false advertising.
Yeah. Halo 3 sold 387,000 units, and the PS3 version of Assassin's Creed sold 377,000. And yeah, the NPD is what said it earned the spot in the history books as the best-selling new IP at launch. Yeah, there are numbers. If you want to talk about them, you already asked why the DS is kicking ass. That was some analysis. If you want to know more, I don't know. Ask. Whatever. Or we'll move on to the bag of shit.
Bag of shit.
We are bag of deuce, and for once in his useless life, Ethan has a bag of shit.
It's Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii. I can't understand how that passed testing.
Do you have a game that you played?
I played Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii.
Do you have a game that you played?
And as soon as I did, I heard that it
Tony,
was
what's
obviously
your bag of shit?
In mono.
Wait, let's hear him out. He probably
no,
has
no,
some
I
notes.
Got nothing else, dude.
No.
This is pretty shallow. Go ahead.
Tony, what's your bag of shit?
We got to go back to the wonderful Nintendo 64 system.
Again? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a little-known game that... Yeah, very little-known. It's called Iggy's Wrecking Balls. Here's the premise. You play Iggy.
Do you wreck balls?
Yeah, a ball. And you race other balls through this kind of like winding maze kind of racetrack. End of story.
No. Oh, God.
And you got a swing thing, kind of like, you know, you extend a little grappling hook, kind of like Bionic Commando, so that you can go up different levels and swing across different chasms, you know, during a race.
Chasms.
Yeah, so there's that, and the fact that this game was so fucking boring that I actually went and looked for cheat codes to make it more interesting. Got a cheat code that unlocks all the different characters, which you would win if you actually played through the game, which I didn't, and I would never. So I got the cheat code, and I unlocked all the characters, and guess what? All of the characters move the same. They're the same speed. There's nothing different about them except the face. Iggy's Wrecking Balls. Bag of shit. That game fucking sucked.
All right, mine's going to be quick. It's called Go Sports Ski. It's a $2 downloadable game for the PlayStation 3.
Wow.
Meant to showcase the six-axis controller.
Oh, God. Is it broken?
Sort of, yes, no. But I basically just want to point out that any game in which you can ski down a completely vertical drop,
mm-hmm.
as if you were magnetically attached to the side of the cliff.
That happens.
Yeah.
It's just like real life.
That's all I got to say. I
always ski like that.
I still have it on my hard drive if you guys ever want to see someone skiing down a vertical slope. It's just ridiculous.
I think Ethan won the bag of shit today.
Yeah, with one that he never even played. Moving on. No main topic because we're running short on time because the pansy has to leave. So we're going to read the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Disco Inferno asks, and this is, he sent this question during the Gersmith thing, and I totally missed it, so apologies. He asks, how can an average user constructively show his or her displeasure over the current issues? He actually offers his opinions with each one of his questions, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. He says, I think getting banned is wasteful, as is giving Kane and Lynch 1.0 ratings. Canceling subscriptions seems to be the best way to go. But what about those of us that don't pay for our accounts? Take a little old me, for example. I got plenty of clout in the Game Factory reviewing community, but over here I'm little more than random, unimportant user 84. How can I and all these other random users make their statements if they have little options besides posting in their blogs? I don't know how effective. It probably only in en masse if this happens, but letters. You write letters to the management.
Stop going to the site.
Stop going to the site, yeah.
Just get, like, drop their hit level.
You have to get everyone to do that, though. And it's kind of hard to do because a lot of people who visit the site probably don't even pay attention to the names behind the reviews, you know?
Yep.
So, how can we show our support for the GameSpot staff? A considerable amount of users consider Gershman some kind of martyr, and CNET/GameSpot/Eidos, the gaming axis of evil. Axis of evil. That's obviously short-sighted. The site's credibility may be in shambles, but people are forgetting that the reviewers themselves are neither the villains nor dupes here. Alex Navarro is still alive and kicking, and I still have faith in him. The same goes for me, Mr. Freelancer. How can we as users show our support for the individuals while still defying the higher-ups? How can we use all this emotional energy constructively? It's weird because it kind of conflicts with what Ethan said about not going to the site, which I agree with. Don't go to the site if you want to show management. But at the same time, then you're kind of abandoning the people there who are still doing their jobs, right? So
And it all has to happen kind of in a window that they really understand that that's what it is. It's, I don't know.
Unfortunately, I think that window passed, and someone looked at the Alexa ratings, and the traffic didn't dip.
Yeah. That sucks.
I really think that it has to come down to letters, and I don't know how effective the petitions will be because a lot of times they don't work, but it doesn't cost you anything. Just go to a URL and sign a petition, I guess. I mean, if you get enough.
Oh, you know what you could do? Never just click on the ads, I guess. I mean, they're making money by click-throughs on ads, right?
Impressions, though? Don't they still get money through just the ads being there?
Yeah, I guess they do.
So that's the unfortunate part. I don't know if this will. I don't know if ad blocker add-ons for Firefox actually take down the number of views an ad gets. Do you know if that does it?
I have no idea.
If I ad block something, will the site still give the impression? I mean, if you really want to go that route, use an ad blocker for Google. I'm sorry, for Firefox, or if Internet Explorer has such an add-on. You also want to maybe reach out to these editors, find their email addresses or send them a private message and just say, you know, I support what you guys are doing and thanks for, you know, fighting the good fight. Things like that. Little, you know, it's really hard to both show your support and show your disdain for the site. It's kind of like, I use this analogy so many times, I used it last week too, but it's like, how do you burn down the house that someone's living in without hurting them? Mm-hmm. So, well, first you got to move them out, but that's then that means image. That they're gone.
Yeah.
How is the current affecting my job as a GameSpot freelancer? Not much, because I mean, honestly, if I write something and they don't like it, or Cena doesn't like it, they just burn it and ask someone else to write it. Probably that's what I'm guessing. They can't fire me.
Yeah, they just won't pay you.
They won't pay me for the work. But they can't cut off my benefits or fire me or anything because. And the other thing is that I have a day job anyway, so.
Well, the staff can get together and, like, stop working for a period of time.
Yeah, yeah. There was a rumor. I think it was last week you missed it. There was a rumor that they might leave en masse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I mean, or, you know, do a little strike, a little demonstration. Right. Like, don't produce for a week.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, the only reviews that went up on GameSpot for a good 4 days after the incident were freelancer reviews. Because,
really?
Because they were frightened. Not only were they upset, they were also frightened that, like, hey, what if, you know, are we going to get canned for our tone? Because that was a big contention. You know, that was a rumor that was going on from the so-called insider that they were saying, like, we're scared to write now because we're scared we're going to get fired. You know, things like that. So, given the currently hectic atmosphere, should prospective freelancers consider applying to work for GameSpot? And he includes someone like himself. I think you should. I mean, if you really don't want to support the site, then no. But if you think that you can be kind of an influence somehow, and you think that you can, I don't know. You know what I mean? There's a chance that you write for them and that you start to conform to what they want you to do in their tone or whatever. There's also a chance that you start writing for them and you just keep on doing what you're doing, and eventually they'll have to stop taking your pieces if they really don't like it, and they'll have to find someone else to write it. But if you fancy yourself a good writer and you want to, you know, have an impact, this might be a way to go. Also, I think that with the uncertainty over the rumors about people leaving, maybe it's a decent time. I don't know if they have the amount of work for you to actually do now that it's after the holiday season and all the big reviews have gone live, so I don't know. But go ahead anyways. Ethan said this to Slunks before in applying for other positions. It's just like, just do it. And if you don't get it, try again a couple months later.
Mm-hmm. Also, do it, and if you get rejected because of your tone, it's actually kind of better for you.
Yeah.
You'll get a little bit more, you get some press. Yeah. You can say, look, I was fired because of my tone when you go to other people, but you're still getting work published, so you're still adding to your resume.
Right. Yeah. Should the up-and-coming writers still have faith in this once-revered bastion of gaming journalism, or should they fear getting canned at a moment's notice? If Gerstmann can get axed, that doesn't bode well for the rest of us. It doesn't. And that's what the whole problem behind this is.
Yeah, but
if you have a day job
is,
and you're going for a freelancer, then do it, because you have a day job. But if you don't, you just want to be careful with where you go to. What are you going to say, Tony?
The thing was, he also had prior issues of which might have contributed to him getting fired too, so we don't know. I mean, just don't do shit that pisses management off. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
If
you can't afford it.
Yeah. And it comes down to neutering your tone. You have to weigh that against, you know, your rent or your desire to work for a company like that. You might as well be better off trying for IGN or 1UP or
Try Games.
Or Try Games, even though we don't pay, so.
Yeah, but it's we pay in I don't know.
You suck.
Digimatrix has a question. I meant to ask this last week too, after his fap question, but he says, I have this growing gripe with people who dismiss the duration of a console journey's life like an afterthought. The arguments against the GameCube might be fair. Mm-hmm. Aren't you doing the same thing, Digi, by saying that? Anyway, since the mostly good games were from first-party developers in Nintendo and no good third-party games, which is also a sweeping blanket statement, they may not have been exclusive, but there are plenty of third-party games. Anyways, the argument against the Xbox is completely unfair, and since it's only the second console I've ever owned, I feel the need to defend it. No. People say the Xbox had no good games or was marred with multi-platform titles that helped it along its way to death is wrong and ignorant. I finish just reading the question, I just got to say, Digi, that like I agree with you that, you know, the Xbox had plenty of great games, but so did the GameCube. And for you to say that, oh, the arguments against the GameCube might be fair is just as unfair, wrong, and ignorant as people who are saying this about the Xbox. So that's something to consider there. With that said, here's a list of exclusive Xbox games that he listed. Well, he says, these are exclusive Xbox games that are wholly excellent and are worth everyone's time. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a bit of a blanket, but Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, Knights of the Old Republic, which is also on PC and not exclusive. Jade Empire, which is also on PC and not exclusive. Psychonauts, which is also on PS2 and PC and not exclusive. Raise as Hell, Conquer, Alive and Reloaded. Fable, which is also not excluded. It's also on the PC. Call of Cthulhu. I can never pronounce this. Call of Cthulhu, which is also not exclusive and on the PC. Ninja Gaiden, definitely excellent. Far Cry Instincts. Chronicles of Riddick, which is also on the PC. Star Wars Republic Commando, which is also on the PC. The Splinter Cell series, which is not exclusive. It's on every platform, including the PS2, the Xbox, the PC, the GameCube.
And the N-Gage.
Deus Ex 2, which is also on the PC and not exclusive. Jet Set Radio Future. All the Dead or Alive games. Kingdom Under Fire. And Metal Arms, which is also not exclusive, which is on GameCube as well. So, I mean, I get your point that there's a lot of good games on this system and it shouldn't be ignored, but not all the games you listed are exclusive. And when we count the games that are truly exclusive to the Xbox, there are around 8 or so, and I did a little digging up, and I found my own list of exclusive third-party GameCube games that are really good as well. Baton Kaitos Origins, Resident Evil Zero, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Star Wars, Rogue Leader 2, Ikaruga, Skies of Arcadia Legends, Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes. It's a remake, but that's like Conker. Conker's also a remake. Tales and Symphonia, and Charlie's Angels 2. Just kidding. It also has some first-party games. And I don't get this argument. If the argument's fair because the only good games were first-party games from Nintendo and there are no good third-party games, besides the fact that that was a lie, what does it matter where the games come from as long as they're good? I never understood that. Like, if a game is good, a game is good. It doesn't matter where it comes from. If you can enjoy it as a gamer, and there's Eternal Darkness from Nintendo that was hardly bought, Pikmin 2, Fire Emblem, Custom Robo, Super Paper Mario, these are games that kind of flew under the radar that people, you know, didn't really see, because everyone knows the Metroid, everyone knows the Mario and the Zelda, but like there's plenty of good shit on every console. I mean, I don't think it's a fair argument to throw a console away in any respect, not even the GameCube. So I take your question with a huge grain of salt, because I do agree with the concept, but I don't think that you should be sitting there and saying one thing is fair and the other isn't just because I owned it. So that's my take on it. I don't know, Ethan, if you want to say anything, or Tony, if you want to say anything. You think maybe this question should have been caught in testing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely, actually.
there's actually a legitimate argument for this, because he says, here's a list of exclusive games, and they're not exclusive.
I know. I'm shocked. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just as shocked at this as I was at Mono Stereo, and I think that there's something else behind it. I think that he's probably an alien. That's the only thing he could possibly explain it. There's no way he couldn't find this in testing. And
yeah.
I think that the argument's kind of silly, because I kind of agree with you that it really doesn't matter. Whether it's exclusive or not, the console, it's not. You don't buy a console just because of its exclusive content anyway.
It's a big reason, but it's not the only reason.
The only reason. It's a lot of reasons. It's price. It's how cool it'll look under the Christmas tree.
smells. I think the only argument against that would be if you're a person who buys all three consoles, and then at that point you kind of want you have to go for the exclusives. But at the same time, I still think that every console has great exclusives, and whether or not it's first or third party, it doesn't matter.
Right. That's true, and also some games just play better on some consoles than others.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if Xbox happens to not have a lot of exclusive content but plays everything really well, there you go.
Yeah. So
also,
I mean,
Xbox Live is, it's better than anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, we agree, but we also don't.
Right.
Well, also, he says people say that the Xbox had no good games or was marred with multi-platform titles that helped it along its way to death. No, that's not exactly why the Xbox was just forgotten. Microsoft just decided to move on because it lost its right to, what was it, the motherboard or NVIDIA or...
NVIDIA, they didn't own the design.
Yeah.
They contracted out to, yeah, it was NVIDIA.
So here's your decision. Do we make our own exclusive Xbox with,
do we own the design? Or do we continue losing money on this?
Yeah, not only that, do we also make one that was compatible to the other one, or do we make one that is slightly more advanced? And their decision was slightly more advanced, and I think it was a great decision because some of these games are just amazing.
Well, they also had to just go move up a generation because they wanted to get a head start, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think the games, whether multi-platform or not, moved it along to its death necessarily.
Exactly. I think he's saying that people say that. I don't know what people he's talking
people?
To, but like I will say no. I'm not trying to make fun of him. Uh-huh. Like I'm saying that, like personally, I don't know anyone who said that, but I know where he could have gotten that from. That would be from forum fanboys who hate the Xbox.
Yeah.
And don't ever trust the word of a forum fanboy. Like, who cares what a fanboy says? You know. So and it's the same type. I hate to say it, but it's the same type of fanboy logic that we're just like, oh yeah, the arguments in GameCube are just fine because all the games were no good. So, there you go. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Next question or any last remarks about Charlie's Angels 2?
Oh, God.
Yeah, move on.
Riven asks, if you guys were to add a new type of content or feature to your website to help promote traffic, what would it be?
Porn.
Exactly.
I asked because I mentioned in episode 33 of the You Know What, Yes We Know What, GameSlaves.net radio pod, GameSlaves Radio, that the only way for our site, like I was, to succeed is to offer a lot of new and interesting content every single day. I myself have always wanted to do a webcomic with my friends, but none of my friends nor I can actually draw. What would you add to your site if you could? It's a tough question when you talk about it succeeding. I hope this doesn't ruffle any of your feathers, but like for me, this is just, and this is something that we like doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that we necessarily want or need or care to. I should say I, because I don't know what you guys' feelings on this are, but it's not something that I care to hit the mainstream or generate revenue or anything like that. It's a place for us to write and express our opinions and just, you know, put our stuff on paper. What I would first start doing before we even add anything is get to a point where we can actually update the goddamn thing in a regular basis. You know? That's the only thing that we can do first. And then we look into branching out. I mean, I've always tried to do some as much video content that I can, but when my camera got broken, that kind of went to the shitter. So
how'd your camera break?
My parents borrowed it on vacation and they dropped it. Oh well, but Ethan, as part of this podcast, what would your ideas any be, if any?
Besides porn?
Yes,
besides porn. Besides porn, and besides not playing Guitar Hero 3 on Wii.
I think I don't know. I mean, the question. I think what he's saying is, you know, the things that generate mass traffic on other sites is the fact that they have content on everything that's out. And so the driver for people going to sites like GameSpot or 1UP or whatever, just that anytime they're looking for newest content, they know that they're going to be informed. They know that they're going to get the latest news or get something that's going to be of value. And I guess if you can't make sure that you have a staff that's so huge that you really can't keep on top of all that, every single press release that comes out, every single release date, every single little bit about every game, then you just got to come up with something that's different than what everybody else is offering instead.
Right. And it's difficult at this point considering how many sites are out there.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to go to a gaming site, I kind of want to go and find something about a game that I'm looking for and trust the fact that that game is going to be there. I don't want to necessarily go to a site and find out and go check one particular game that the site happens to have. So you have to have somewhat of a library. Maybe you don't have to have everything, but you have to have something.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of content, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. There aren't a lot of sites that do a really good job of a focused what should be in the next game of a series or what games should be developed. I think that they have a lot of bulletin boards where people just kind of rant on about what they want, but none of it's organized.
There's Gama Sutra, which kind of discusses this type of thing.
Yeah, but do they then organize it into this is what the game looks like?
What do you mean? Oh, well, you mean like mock-up or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 50 people submit something, and then there's some moderator that actually implements.
No, I don't think they do. That'd be a good idea. Though there are some legal things to work out, like who, like is there plagiarism? Is there people really
yeah, absolutely.
Their idea?
The whole, I mean,
that,
you'd have
that,
to,
that's yeah. huge.
Yep, yep. You'd have to post. You'd have to agree to a statement that says anything I post on here, I'm totally giving away.
Right, and that's a little hard for people to swallow. Though, I mean, well, no, you're right. It's a website. It's not like XNA or anything like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can just type up your ideas for something, and then somebody actually kind of implements that into a story, and then that can get graded. And so you're actually not even making a full game. You're making you're like running a test bed of game plans. I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, you think of something, and you go to another site, and it's there.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. You know,
yep.
And with blogs coming out now, they always have these different things. Like blogs, freaking post photos of video game cakes. If ever someone wanted to do something different and say, hey, let's find all the weird video game things that we can out there, like birthday cakes, and post them. A blog already does that.
Right.
So, it's incredibly hard. I think in games. To disclose, Game Slaves, I think, is a server hosting site. And Riven, if I'm totally wrong, feel free to smack me. But yeah, it's they have a service that they provide. So that's one thing that I think that's keeping you guys alive. And you know, whether or not you guys give content every day, I think, you know, just on your service alone, and you have a community there. So for us, we have the podcast. That is really our thing, I guess.
I would say that you really should consider porn, because it will drive visitors to your site. I can guarantee it.
It's considered. I'm considering it. Considered it. Won't do it. But I did consider it. Thank you for the idea.
Hey, I'm offering it to Riven.
Oh, okay. Riven, boobies.
Yeah, man. Tits on the site.
Little chocolate nipples and areola. For your pleasing to miss. Let's see if the mailbag is still.
Ooh. How about? You take every day you take a video game character's head and you put it on a naked woman's body in a suggestive pose, and you have the new picture of the day, and then everybody comes to your site to see the new picture.
GameBondageSlaves.net.
Yeah.
Game Bondage Slaves Radio. There you go. Anything else? Anybody want to take more pot shots at porn?
No.
Or not porn?
No.
What kind of shots?
Pot shots. I don't know why you asked why that was funny.
Get it?
Jesus Christ. Move on. Next question.
There is no more question.
Yes, there is.
There are no question more.
Adam, MA Live, California.
Huh? Yeah, what about the last
Adam?
One?
Adam, Malive, California.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, you suck at this.
Your face sucks at this. This question is almost mandatory at this point. Uh-huh. What do you guys think about the lineup for Game of the Year hopefuls, and who do you think will win, or perhaps who should win? It's tough because I haven't been able to get down to the biggest games yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let's see.
Chess.
The running, the ones in the running are things like, there's Mass Effect, the Super Mario Galaxy,
right.
There is, I don't know, I don't even know if Metroid Prime is anywhere near that, but
no,
I haven't heard it mentioned in any circles, so I would yeah. personally hope it would
You know
be.
Why? Because people have short memories. That's what it all comes down to.
That's true.
You know,
oh, there's Bioshock.
Bioshock, definitely. That's one thing you can't have a short memory about.
Assassin's Creed is getting a lot of speak,
mm-hmm.
but... some sites will give it Game of the Year.
World in Conflict, this could be really good.
World in Conflict,
Duty.
Crisis. Call of Duty 4 is always there, though I think I've heard things about the single player that it's too short.
Really?
I personally don't mind. Like, if it's 5 or 6 hours, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's an intense experience.
How long is Mario Galaxy? I heard that was extremely short, too.
That's if you like blaze through it and don't take time to actually, you know, like absorb it.
Oh, well, that goes
without
saying.
I think I've heard like 7 or 8 hours or so, but if you decide to go after all the rest of the stars, it can go up to like 12 to 15. I don't know.
Okay.
This is just what I've heard.
Okay.
There is Shoot, what else came out? I did say
Orange
Crisis,
Box.
Right? Orange. Don't know. I forgot about that. There's Orange Box. There is. There's something that came out earlier this year that was
Gears of War.
Gears of War didn't come out.
Gears
this
of War
year.
Was last year, but the PC version did come out this year.
Oh yeah, with the Brumac.
With the Brumac, yes. I think who should win again? I don't know. I think I would probably bet that Mass Effect won't because I've seen I've seen great things about it, but I've also read the people's opinions on it are they focus a lot on the bugs. And the choppy frame rate, you know, because it's a BioWare game, and BioWare usually is ambitious and makes these huge worlds, and then the frame rate's like terrible, and then there are people clipping through the floor, and the game crashes. I've heard Mass Effect crashes a lot, not just clips or things
really?
Like that, but actually crashes. And I think you're likely to see an Xbox 360 game win Game of the Year, unless Mario Galaxy wins the Hearts and Minds over. There's also Rock Band to contend with.
And Guitar Hero 3.
Guitar Hero 3, yeah, though I don't know how enthusiastic the editors are about it anymore at this point, because it's the third one, and you know we've kind of done this, not to death, but over and over again. So I don't know how much it is in the running. One Up gave it a 9, so maybe it's in the running there.
Okay,
but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure about Guitar Hero status. It should be. I think it should be out there because it's the most refined one of the series, and it has the best soundtrack. So,
Ethan, what do you think?
Mother Trucker.
Yeah.
Probably top game ever. It's a pretty good game.
PC-wise, what
we
would
can
you
rely on
put
him
up
for
there?
Crap.
PC-wise?
And I know you haven't played anything recently, but earlier in this year, what stood out to you?
The new Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell?
Okay. You know, but that's me. I really, really like those.
Oh, you said you bought the Ghost Recon 2?
Yeah.
What was it?
It's pretty good, but I don't know if I would do best game of the year.
Yeah, a lot of people have been kind of down on that.
I like it. Really? I mean, it's fun, but I can't say best game of the year is like for everybody, and I wouldn't say that. Splinter Cell, I would say, is really, really good. But again, that is me. I don't know.
What else came out on PC? You said World in Conflict, right?
Yeah, World in Conflict.
I thought maybe Company of Heroes, but that's only an expansion that came out.
Yep. And I didn't like the first one nearly as much as everybody else did.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that game. I thought it was like
pretty good.
I thought it
Call
was
of Duty
okay,
4
but
is
I was
an RTS.
Annoyed by all the micromanagement.
Right. Any shooters? Any shooters that came out?
Oh,
not that I
that
can
you played?
Think of. Shooters. I don't know, look it up. I don't remember.
Unreal Tournament.
I can't remember
likely.
What fucking last week, much less the whole year.
Oh, by the way, there's a Trauma Center 2 that came out. So there's a Operation
really?
2 for you, and it has two player support. Apparently, you could like do simultaneous operations.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious and extraordinarily frustrating, and would totally ruin any friendships I ever had.
Wait a minute. Not can you do a co-op operation?
Yeah,
like on the same. Oh, sweet.
Oh, Supreme Commander.
Oh, that came out this year too. That's right.
Yeah, maybe.
But you're talking RTS, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Call of Duty. Not Call of Duty. Brothers. What the fuck is that game? I had it over here. Company of Heroes. There you go. You have Command & Conquer, the new one.
Command & Conquer 3,
which me personally, I would put that on my top list because that game is amazing.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. You're right, people do have short memories. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, see? I mean, it all comes down to what's new. That's what you remember. It's the same thing with movie awards. Fucking nobody has a memory of what happened.
Thank God
you know?
Silence of the Lambs won it. Even though it came out in February.
Yeah. Whatchamacallit. RTSs, I would say that. My personal opinion, Bioshock, definitely got to win Game of the Year. I've never seen any game like it. I've
RTS?
Never played anything. No, not RTS. I'm saying, aside from RTS. I'm saying in general. Bioshock is an RTS. Whatchamacallit. In general, I would say my game of the year would be Bioshock. Most innovative game would have to be Portal. Hands down. Probably best song of the year for a video game as well. I would definitely give it to Portal.
The Portal song.
Oh, it's fucking awesome, that song. Pretty much the orange box really fucking, that's a great purchase. It really is. I'm not too sure about the multiplayer game because I've yet to play it, but like everything else is fantastic.
Right.
So yeah.
I'll go through the list of games before we close out. Okay. So
sure.
I'm going in reverse chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
On highest rated games. There's Orange Box, like you said, for PS3 and the Xbox 360 and the PC. There's Contra 4 might be in the running for the DS, but
mm-hmm.
Zelda came out. There's no way that
right, yeah.
Just from editors, you know. There's Unreal Tournament 3.
Mm-hmm.
That I totally missed. There's Rock Band. There is Uncharted for the PS3, which looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect.
Resistance Fall of Man is on there?
Resistance was last year. That was a PS3 launch game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Assassin's Creed, Crisis, Call of Duty 4,
mm-hmm.
Super Mario Galaxy, Gears of War for PC, Worldwide Soccer Manager for PC. Next.
We Play.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
that did come out this year,
there.
Actually.
Yeah. It did,
Guitar Hero 3, like you said. There's, for PSP, there's Exit. No, that was Xbox Live Arcade. Puzzle Quest might get a lot of votes. Ratchet and Clank.
For a PSP game, Ratchet and Clank is going to probably win it.
And the PS3, too. That got for GameSpot, that got really great reviews from everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Everyday Shooter probably as a downloadable game.
Oh, Geometry Wars.
Geometry for Wii that came out, but I don't know that Geometry Wars was.
Yeah, they said the
Xbox
Wii controls.
Launch.
Yeah, they said the Wii controls. Well, they have a new one.
For Wii, I know.
Yeah, the Wii controls they said didn't really mesh, but the one on Xbox was just perfect.
Right. That one was that they'd have to do the Wii one though, because the Wii one's the one that recently came out. Though you can play with a classic controller, a GameCube controller, so that's okay.
Right.
There's Zelda for DS. There's Project Gotham Racing 4. Though I think Forza Motorsport 2 would probably overtake that. There's Quake,
mm-hmm.
Enemy Territory Quake Wars, which competes with Team Fortress 2 and Orange Box.
Mm-hmm.
The Company of Heroes expansion pack, Halo 3, completely forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. well, just because I don't care about Halo, but it's huge.
Right.
World in Conflict, like Ethan said. Eternal Sonata, which is an RPG for the Xbox 360. The Heavenly Sword for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're only at September. Shit, we got how many more months? We had 8 more months ago. Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Recon 2, Advanced Warfare 2 did get.
Yeah, that's
score.
The one that I was asking
about.
Yeah,
from GameSpot, I got a high score. There's BioShock, of course. There is Hexic 2. Just kidding. There is. People liked Madden this year.
Duh.
No, but I mean, like, last year it wasn't that all that great. There's Mario Strikers Charge. That would never get a Game of the Year, though.
No.
Just a GameCube.
No. I think Wii Sports... Oh, wait a minute. That's last year. Did Wii Sports win last year, by the way?
It won something, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
Super Paper Mario, but I don't think that has enough meat to it to win a Game of the Year. It's a very fun game, but it doesn't have enough substance. Civilization 4's expansion pack. I think it's a standalone, so that could win.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Ethan. Have you played any of the Civilization games?
Yeah.
Are they as good as everyone says they are?
I love Civilization 2. It was good.
You might really actually like it because it's all, you know, you take your time and you strategize.
Yeah, it's turn-based. Yeah, it's just turn-based strategy.
Because I do like that. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden Sigma on PS3. Anytime you get a Ninja Gaiden game, it's great. GameSpot might do something with The Darkness. I've heard mixed reviews from other places, though.
Heard it was too short.
Huh?
Too short?
Yeah, that's what I've heard from other outlets, too. There is Crush for PSP. It's that puzzle game that I was telling you about that's kind of like Super Paper Mario.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Forza Motorsport, which I mentioned. There's Halo 2 for Vista. Oh, let's play a 3-year-old game on PC again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I need 7,000 gigs of RAM just to run it.
Lord of the Rings MMO.
Command
& Conquer 3. I was good. Let's see. There's a whole Sam & Max series of games that came out on GameTap.
Mm-hmm.
The Pokemon, of course. They were back in April now, so we're moving along. And I read a Super Paper Mario. Let's see. Guitar Hero 2 on 360. There's the expansion pack to Oblivion, but I don't know if they would count an expansion pack.
Well, in that case, would they count, what's it, Rock the 80s?
No, I don't think they would. And also, it was not that good of a value enough that I don't think they would consider it anyways, but that's a good question. Virtua Tennis 3 for a sports game of the year or something. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just kidding. Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl. Cool. Ethan, okay. I don't know if you remember that game.
No.
That was a game that was like 20 years in development that was supposed to be like an open-ended RPG but a shooter. So you could go you go places and you take missions. It's extremely buggy, but it was like it was really good.
A really cool idea.
When you actually got to play it. How much time you got? Because we're at March.
We're at March?
Two more months to go.
Oh, do it.
We're going backwards.
Yeah, do it, do it, do it.
Do it now!
Do it now!
Go on.
This page won't scroll. It's making you late.
Go on, do it!
Whoa! God of War 2!
Right! How the fuck did you forget that?
It's gotta be up there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's God of War 2. Stupid of us!
Galactic Civilizations 2, that's an expansion pack, though. Alien Hominid for the Xbox Live Arcade could be an arcade, could be a downloadable game.
Mm-hmm.
Award-winning game.
Would you consider Kingdom Hearts 2 because it came out December of last year?
I think they considered that for last year already. I don't think
they did already?
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong, though. Virtual Fighter 5.
Okay.
And then, like Ethan said, Supreme Commander.
Mm-hmm.
World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade, the expansion pack, which came out in February. I would be like, yeah, that one. and then I think it gets kind of thin because we're in January and nothing huge is really that that huge. WarioWare Smooth Moves for Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Planet, though some other outlets didn't really like it that much. And then we go into 2006 and that's it. I really think the later part of the year had the stronger lineup, save for God of War 2.
Yeah, because our memories again.
Yeah, but for the most part, even looking back at this, like you compare, you get Super Paper Mario before, but now you get Super Mario Galaxy. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Command and Conquer, but then you got something like BioShock,
right?
And World in Conflict. You know, so I think really the holiday season is always when the big guns come out, just because of the holiday season.
And what's that game on PS3 with the girl with the swords?
Heavenly Sword.
You got Heavenly Sword, and then you got God of War 2.
Reviews, actually, surprisingly.
Yeah, but then you got God of War 2.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come
that
on.
That one's different, yeah. God of War 2, I would take... Yeah. I played the demo of Heavenly Sword. It was very fun, and I actually do want to play the game.
Okay.
But you can't jump in it. How do I get past that thing? All right, I think we're totally running out of time. Ethan's about to get bitch slapped. So, any last remarks? About Game of the Year, or whatever?
Should have had it in testing.
Should have found Game of the Year in testing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, mandatory is spelled M-A-N-D-A. There's no I.
There's no I in mandatory.
Yeah. All right, so for Ethan.
Yeah.
Tony.
Okay.
Al.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up? Oh, man, I'm sick. If he was sick today, he's in bed. And if he wasn't sick, he'd still have to go to church.
Hey man, I'm testing a new game. When I was testing, I always never found shit like this.
I always never found stuff.
That shit got released. I have bugs. I can testify.
Basically.
Al, you don't really sound like that.
Yeah. Yes, you do. No. I've been your host, Austin, and yes. Housekeeping. Game Slaves Radio. You can find it on GameSpot. Actually, he's not a GameSpot anymore. He boycotted it. You can find it on Gameslaves.net or iTunes, and you can listen to the Macho Man's podcast episode. I don't know what they're on right now. Macho Man 50 on the GameSpot user page, if he's still posting there. And for the March of the Penguins, I'm out. Back.
I can't believe they didn't find that in testing.